Thank you, worship team. I love that song. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. It doesn't just tell us to enter in. It tells us how to. With thanksgiving in our hearts, with praise, that's how we enter into his courts. That's how we enter into him. Good morning, Lord. Lord, once again, we thank you for this day. Lord, once again, we look to you. Lord, we just pray for your blessing on this time, Lord. We pray for your blessing on your word. May it be your word. Open up heaven for us this morning, Lord, please. Open up our hearts to receive what you have for us. Lord, we come to you looking to change. Just help us be everything you want us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our opening scripture, I'm going to read it again, is from Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. When my daughter was 13 years old, I know I've shared this before, but I can't not do this. You know how 13-year-olds can be. And she was a typical early teenager, you know, where you think maybe you want to lock her in a closet or something, because check on her every once in a while to see if she's become human yet. But she used to wear a t-shirt. It said, whatever. And I looked at it one day and I said, Philippians 4:8. She said, what? I said, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever. And she looked at me and she said, whatever. You know, I'm actually going to quote from Bob Dylan again, 2 weeks in a row. In one of his songs, he said, if my thought dreams could be seen, they'd probably put my head inside a guillotine. You ever wonder what it'd be like if you had a little caption or a little speech bubble above your head that just showed, you know, what you're thinking or what you're saying? That wouldn't be too good, would it? Our thoughts. Why do we think the things we think? Who controls or decides what thoughts come into our minds? Thoughts are like the flow of a great river coming from the depths of our being. What is flowing in that river? What are the currents of our thoughts carrying? Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Paul started out that verse 8 with the word finally. It means above all. It means first and foremost. 5 times Paul uses the word finally. Peter used it 1 time. We're going to take a close look at it. You know, I lived in Sacramento for a few years. I was there in 1980, and it was... I always thought it was a big city that thought it was a small town in 1980. And I left and went to San Jose for a year or so. I was in the catering business, industrial catering. I was building routes. I'd build one place, and then I'd go somewhere else, and I'd build a route and sell it. And then I went back to Sacramento a year after. And it was no longer a big city that thought of itself as a small town. It was a big city all the way around. Might have something to do with their basketball team anyway. Anyway, where I'm going with that is there's three streets in Sacramento, and I'm going to use them as examples. There's how, there's what, and there's why. How, H-O-W-E, what, W-A-T-T, and why. You know, it's right next to a block away from W Street. So we're going to look at the how, what, and why of this this passage. Number one, what are we being told to do? We're being told to think on these things. Whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report. True, conformable to truth. Not concealed, not hidden, open, real, sincere. What you see is what you get. Honest. Honest. Venerable, respected, esteemed, hallowed, honored, and worshipped. Just. Equitable in character or actions. Innocent, holy, righteous. Just is our action towards men, isn't it? Pure, blameless, clean, perfect, concentrated. Pure is our action towards God. Lovely. It's the only time we see this word in the New Testament. You'd think it'd be in there a lot more than that. I think it's in the Old Testament about three or four times. Lovely means beautiful, pleasing, deserving of being loved. Of good report. A good reputation, well spoken of. If there be any virtue, we see that in the first four. Whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure. Virtue. Virtue is a desired quality. It's what we should strive for. If there be any praise, it sums up the last two. Praise is virtue's reward. Whose praise do we seek? Do we seek the praise of man, or do we seek the praise of God? It should always be in our mind to seek the praise of God. Think on these things. This statement implies that we can, and therefore we should exercise control over our thought life. 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. If we don't take our thoughts captive, what happens? They take us captive. Most people think the things that they think automatically. You got that? You could actually say that they think without thinking. Ready, fire, aim. Does that happen to you? Think on these things. You know, it's not a suggestion. It's a commandment. And since it's a commandment, we're supposed to obey it, aren't we? But in order to obey it, We also have to obey the negative side of it. The things we don't think about. We don't think on and or fill our thoughts with the opposite of these things. The untrue, the unjust, the impure, the ugly, things of bad report, things that aren't virtuous, things that are unworthy of praise. What occupies our minds? What lives there? What guests do we invite into our hearts and minds? You know, I've got a confession to make. Sometimes I'll hear a swear word, a certain word in particular, and for some reason that word just wants to bounce around inside my mind, just continually. Sometimes I might see an image or something on television. I don't watch television very often. Something I don't want to see, but yet that image wants to stay there, doesn't it? Does anybody else have that problem? We all should. Because the world is like that. Proverbs 25:28, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down without walls. Wrong thoughts are always trying to get into your head. We have to be gatekeepers, standing guard at the gates of our mind. We have to shut the door fast. We have to double lock it. If we don't, they're going to come in. Number two, why? Why should we? Verse 8 says, think on these things. Verse 9 says, these things do. Proverbs 23:7, for as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Our thoughts shape our actions. Everything we do starts with a thought. Everything that exists started with a thought. Everywhere we look, everything we see, all started from thoughts. Good or bad, it all starts with thoughts. Eve saw the fruit on the tree, and she thought about how good that would be. It would taste good. It looked good. It was. It would make her wise. Alexander McLaren said, as thought makes deed, and thoughts and deeds make character, so character makes destiny, here and hereafter. Sooner or later, our thoughts will be revealed in our actions. If you've thought only negative thoughts in your life, what thoughts will you be thinking in heaven? That's something to think about, isn't it? As Joe Ferguson says, we're training for reigning. Aren't we not in this life? Preparing for living in heaven? That should be in our thoughts all the time. Number three, how is this best obeyed? We have to exercise control over our thoughts. Exercise. What happens when we exercise? We get stronger. Practice makes perfect. The Bible talks about practicing righteousness. The more we practice righteousness, the less we practice unrighteousness. Garbage in, garbage out, right? We have a natural tendency to gravitate earthward towards worldliness. But if we put ourselves in His hands, He will draw us up and we will soar above the earth. Heavenward with Him. Ephesians 2:4-6. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, have quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Colossians 3, 1 and 2. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. Think on these things. These things do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Doesn't say the peace of God, although the peace of God will be with us if the God of peace is with us. The question remains, how do we think on things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, or good report, of good report or of virtue and praise? If you put all those characteristics together and you paint a picture with them, what do you get? What does that picture depict? You know, I have a stock answer when someone says they have a question. You've probably all heard it, right? The answer is Jesus. What is our ultimate goal? Is to be like Jesus. That's our destination. Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, or your reasonable worship. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Our ultimate goal, our destination is Jesus. Jonathan Cahn in his book of Mysteries said, where we look is where we walk. What are we focusing on? Are we focusing on the things of God? Ephesians 2, 6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The key word in that verse is in. I've shared this before, I'm sharing it again. In heavenly places, in Christ Jesus. That's where we position ourselves. That's where our mind has to stay. That's where our thoughts have to stay. The answer is really quite simple. Keep Jesus in your thoughts. Keep Jesus in your heart. Keep Jesus in your mind in every part of your life, every part of your being. Jesus. We had an evangelist that came to a church I went to in Oregon once. This was many years ago, obviously. And he was there he did two services on Sunday, and then he did, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, like five services all together. And his entire message could be summed up in two words. Love Jesus. Love Jesus. If we love Jesus, we'll think about Jesus. Everything listed in our text is a characteristic of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5:19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Personally, I found that if I'm singing praise songs, I'm thinking about Jesus. And I'm also not thinking about things that I shouldn't be thinking about. It's hard to think bad thoughts when you're praising Jesus in your heart, isn't it? Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. As I said earlier, we have a surprise for you today. We have something special. I'm going to ask Susie and Patrick to come forward, please. I brought my little book. You know what that means? We all get to witness something wonderful. And also Todd and Molly. Their friends from Colorado are going to be with them. I guess this came pretty suddenly, didn't it? Marriage is as old as the family of man. It was given by our Creator in the Garden of Eden in the state of innocence. Moses, the great lawgiver of Israel, first gave legal sanction, and our Lord Jesus Christ, when he was upon the earth, gave it spiritual sanction. Rightly regarded, marriage is the highest and happiest of human relationships, the preserver of true love, the foundation of the home, and the strength of society. The scriptures teach us that marriage should be held in honor among all. If you have both duly considered this relationship upon which you are about to enter, please indicate by joining your right hands. Uh-oh, that means you're going to have to let go with your left. Patrick, do you take this woman whose right hand you now hold to be your wedded wife? And do you promise before God and these witnesses that you will be to her a true and devoted husband, true to her in sickness and in health and joy and in sorrow and prosperity and in adversity, and that forsaking all others, you will keep yourself to her and to her only until God shall separate you by death? If so, answer, I do. I had a feeling you were going to say that. Susie, do you take this man whose right hand you now hold to be your wedded husband? And do you promise before God and these witnesses that you will be to him a true and devoted wife, true to him in sickness and in health, in joy and in sorrow, in prosperity and in adversity, and that forsaking all others, you will keep yourself to him and to him only until God shall separate you by death? If so, answer, I do.
I do.
I do. Do we have rings? Okay. Uh-oh. May this golden circle, the emblem of an untarnished eternity, be the sign and seal of a pure and imperishable faith you have now pledged to each other. Okay, you want to place it on her hand? Therefore, we have another one. Sorry about that. By virtue of the authority vested in me as a minister of the gospel of Christ and in accordance with the laws of God, I now pronounce you husband and wife, one in name, one in aim, and one we trust in a happy destiny. What God has joined together, let man not separate. You may kiss the bride. Our Father, we thank you for the joy of living and especially for the joys of love and marriage. You have loved us and you have made us so that we can love and be loved in return. Thank you that we need not walk the road alone, but that you provide someone to share our dreams and comfort us in our sorrows. Father, bless these, your children, today as they begin their lives together as husband and wife. Preserve and protect this love they have expressed. May they know happiness and fulfillment. May they experience contentment and peace. As they come to know each other better, may they also learn to know you so that their home becomes a beacon to others of that life and in joy, which are eternal. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Congratulations. And I guess I'm supposed to tell you good luck, but I don't believe in good luck. May God's blessing be upon you. Oh, boy. Lord, we praise you and we thank you this morning. We thank you, Lord, for this ceremony. We thank you, Lord, for the love behind it. And Lord, we know that there's going to come a time when we're going to be with you. We're going to be your bride. You're going to be our groom. And we're going to know the most powerful love imaginable. We're going to feel the most powerful love imaginable. Lord, be with your people today. Bless your word to our hearts, Lord. What we've learned, Lord, may we retain. And Lord, may you go with each one of us today. May we be a beacon for you. May we have smiles on our faces and joy in our heart, and may we provoke to jealousy everybody we meet. May you be glorified in everything we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, everybody. That concludes our service.